there's no special Ma'ariv Mekoymis for today. I'm doing one pasuk, and I'd like to do a little bit more halacha lemaisa in that pasuk. It's a very interesting shaila whether that pasuk is really used halacha lemaisa or not. Machlokes Rishonim. But the pasuk that I'm talking about is Mishlei Pe Dalit pasuk Chav Dalit. Hasa mimcha ikshus peh ulzus fasayim hachek mimecha. So Hasa mimcha ikshus peh, the Goyin says as follows. Kokosafti lemaluki ikshus unetias mikava shovel yamino lismo. Ikesh, whenever you have ikesh like you have in the pasuk in Chumash, do ikesh ubisaltoil. What is ikesh? So ikesh means going off the derech. We use that expression in a different way. The tias hakav min hakav ashover liyaminoi lismoil. By the way, I just wanted to mention derech agav that Reb Baruch Ber, the Bikah Shmuel, said in the name of Reb Chaim, his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker, that when he said the pasuk al tehi tzadik harbei, he made with his finger in this direction, and when he said al tirsha, you know, he made his finger in the other direction. And he said it was mashma from the way he made his finger this direction and the other direction, that both of them are no good. And that's what the goyin means. Not letzad yamin, not letzad smol. Who he meant in the right direction, in the right direction, al titzadik abei, is a machloikas, and I'm not going to go into it. Who he was talking about. Reb Chaim. Aber lemaisa, that's what the goyin says. Netiya sakav min hashover lemino lesmol. Benolois, what's ulezus fasayim? He netias mikav hamagol letzadzeh letzadzeh. V'inei neged hara u'mirma, ki hara hu bein bepeh bein belev, hu shove lo hara, v'hamedabe mirma hu dugmas kav hamagol shenoysen eitzais, shemara lefirus ayin hatoivais, ach begilgulam ha eitzais yehovchul lara. Lekach netiyosan nikra nolois magoloysam, v'zeh hosam mimcha ikshus peh, Mi sheyesh pe ikesh kloima zehu arab bekoil v'shovet. Uzus vasayim zeh sifse chalokos shemedab echad bepe v'echad baleiv. Ve'ein pivoli b'shovim. Ve'ikum zeh nikrul uzus vasayim miloshen nolois b'mag loisom. Ve'zehu hamedab b'mirma. Harchek mimeko ki hu garua minora moshe kasavnu l'malo. U'muvan hu v'chein oma harchek mimcha miyoid yosem minora sheshom ein oirak hosem mimcha. So basically what they're going to saying is that there are two different kinds of netiyah min hakav hashoveh. One of them is circular and one of them is straight. Straight means that it's no good, and it's very obvious that it's no good. It's not good to the right and it's not good to the left, but it's no good. And that's hoser mimcha ikshus peh. So when a person says something and it's not appropriate, and you know that it's not appropriate, if a person gives you advice and you know right away that the advice is no good, or you know that he's trying to undermine you, ikshus peh is clear. And that's why it's looked at as a straight line that simply veers to the right or to the left. It's like making a right angle this way or a right angle that way. Circular is that you're starting out and it looks like you're going in the right direction, but lo and behold, you end up going in the wrong direction. That's what he means by a circular. So when you're going on a straight line and you veer off to the right or to the left, you know that you're going in a different direction entirely. But when you go in a circle, that's the image at least, so it looks like you're going in the right direction, but as you curve, all of a sudden, over time, you discover that you're going in the opposite direction. So what is the image of that? He says that's called lezus fasayim, and that is where the person is echad bepeh ve'echad balev. In other words, he's giving you a recommendation and it looks like it's a good idea and he makes himself your best friend, but in fact he's your enemy and he wants to undermine you by making you lose your guard and making you feel that, you know, he's doing it for your benefit, but in fact it's the opposite. So he says in the case of Lezus Fasayim, the pasuk is even stronger. It says, Harchek mimecha, stay as far away from it as possible. Now, who we're talking about here exactly, the Vilna Goyin doesn't say. But Bahamas, if we wanted to think about it for a moment in terms of the Yetzer Hara, then both of these things, these different types of Yetzer Hara, are well known to us. You know, there are a lot of times that we want to do something, and it's not so present company always excluded. Sometimes it's not so ay-ay-ay. A person wants to incorporate something, and he knows it's not really right. So there are two different mahalchim. There's one mahalch that says Afal pike. Listen, I have the need, I have the taiva, I have the this, I have the that. It has to be done. I'm going to do it. The other Yetzirah wants to preserve the person's sense of righteousness. Noch dazu. In other words, so he either turns it into a mitzvah, which is maybe going, you know, completely full circle, or at the very least, he explains and justifies, and he says that, you know, this is something that I can incorporate because it fits. So I'll give you a very good example. Somebody talks it into himself that he doesn't want to learn today. But he doesn't feel that he doesn't want to learn today because he needs the rest or the exercise or the vacation, because that learning tomorrow that he takes off today is going to be infinitely better and with new vim and vigor, new zest. No, he says, listen, I need a break from Yiddishkeit. I have my typhus also. So if a person thinks like that, what category does it fall into? That I have my typhus also and they have to be accommodated? That's chosem imcha ikshus peh. Because you're going to the right or to the left, you're veering off, in this case, obviously, to the left. And that's it. A person who thinks that he's going to remain the same tzaddik that he was before, he's going to have to explain why he has this typhus. So the answer will not be because I'm a lazy good for nothing, or the answer will not be because it's boring sometimes learning Torah, but afal pi kein, you know, it really is never boring, but there are occasions where a person learns something and he doesn't see the geschmack in it either. That's what the Chazon Ish says, that tests your real avas haTorah and your mesiras nefesh for Torah. But the fact is that he says to himself, no, I'm going to take a break today because I need to take today's break for tomorrow's sake. And if that's the case, what category does that fall under? L'sus fasayim harchek mimeka. In the nature of the beast, we have a greater fear in Musar of the latter category than the former. Because, and that really, by the way, is why, and I've mentioned this a number of times in all kinds of contexts, every chait should be less than an oven. Because an oven is bemezid, and a chait is b'shoigig. But very often, in Chazal, and in the Bali Musar especially, they look at chait with a certain perspective that sometimes it's actually worse than oven. And it's exactly because of what the Goyen is saying in this pasuk. Because if you forget that it's Shabbos, the shaila is, how did you end up forgetting that it's Shabbos? What is Shabbos for you, if you can forget that it's Shabbos? And if a person says, I know it's Shabbos, but I want to do this anyhow. It's a terrible crime. But he knows where he is. And for him, it could still be Shabbos. So on some level, chait could even be worse than mezid. Because it shows a perspective that's makolko, and not necessarily the specific inyan. Especially when we're talking about a chait that's mumar l'teyavam, not mumar l'hachis, but mumar l'teyavam. So I want to eat this. So it isn't necessarily with a kosher symbol, but who says it's treif? You understand? So if a person has that attitude, he knows where he is. But if a person in general, ended up eating tarfus because inadvertently, how did you not have the zehirus to stay away from these kind of environments where that could even be a possibility? So that's the point. So I think hasem imcha ikshus peh ulzus fasayim harchik mimecha. Okay. Now, there's a concept in Chazal that's called cheshad, and there's another concept that's very closely related called maris ayin. Some Rishonim explain the difference between Chashad and Maris Ayin, and some Rishonim say there really is no difference. The terms can be used interchangeably. Most of the time when they're speaking about these in Yonim, they quote the Pasuk, V'yisem Nekiyim Mehashem Umi Yisrael. And V'yisem Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael is really an astonishing Pasuk, because the Pasuk is telling me that not only do I have to worry about how I look in the eyes of Hashem, who's the Yodea HaKoil, and he's an aidus to everything that we do day and night, and there's no way to hide, Ayeka. And there is L'chaira, the entire range of what I do and what I don't do, what I ought to do and what I ought not to do. Who cares what other people think or say? If it's emes in the eyes of Hashem, it's good. If it's not, it's no good. What is the nekuda of Me Hashem Umi Yisrael? Why is the V'yisem Nekiyah Me Hashem not enough? That's the kasha on this pasuk. So Chazal learned that Michlal, that it says Me Hashem Umi Yisrael, that it Adraba is something. And there's another pasuk that's often quoted in the same way. V'nimtza chen v'seichel tov be'enei Elohim v'adam. So what's the Adam? If it's already Bein Elohim, it's doch Zeyo good. So you see that there's a Nakuda, that there is a concern of how it appears as well. Now, what is the reason behind it, L'chaira, in the Machshava Shabbai? So the answer is twofold, I believe. Number one, every person is an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem or for Chilul Hashem. Number two, every person is a Rebbe, a Malamed. What do I mean by that? You watch a person making a bracha, I say this all the time for parents with children. You watch a person making a bracha, you could be teaching Emuna, and you could also be teaching Kfira. And what goes on in your heart per se may not be enough. A person may make a bracha very quickly, but have perfect kavana. But to the observer, it appears that he's callous, or it's, you know, mitzvah sanoshim melumada. It's just by rote, and it's not sincere at all. When you make brachas like that, it indicates a lack of emunah in Hashem. Every person is a Rebbe in every move that he makes. In the way he walks in the street, and the way he talks to people, and the way he conducts himself in business, and on and on and on. So when you're sitting and talking, not again, when I use that word you, I'm not talking about the Olam here at all. When you're sitting and talking in shul, when you're not supposed to be talking, which is never. So when you're sitting and talking in shul, dvarim teilim v'putalim, you're not just talking. You're also being a malamid to talk. Because people are inclined to follow the leader, to take the lead from others. And if this is especially true if enough people talk, so okay, so then what am I doing wrong? That's the way, that's the minhag hamoka. So if that's the case, that's not just the relationship called Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, also you are observing the person and you're coming to conclusions. But not necessarily because you're going to do it. The second point is that you're going to make other people do the same thing. So in the Yisem Nekiyah Me'Hashem, well, not only you have a Malamed, but this happens to me all the time. I learned the Sugya many times, and I know the Sugya backwards and forwards, let us say. Now I'm coming into a Shia, and I'm going to teach my Talmidim this Sugya. They haven't seen the Sugya except for the last day or so. Before that, they never saw it before in their lives. If I take for granted certain things, I guarantee you they will not understand the Shia at all. Because they don't have the background and they don't have the material and they don't have the experience to be able to build upon what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is too shorthand. It's not enough. And if you take something for granted and you tell the Talmud that point, and he can't take for granted, he doesn't know what you took for granted, he's not going to understand it, or he's going to misconstrue it, it'll be confounding to him. A Rebbe has to know what the Talmud needs to hear before he can be a good Rebbe. Memela, it's the same thing with if every person is a Malamed, then every person has to know that what he does is going to be interpreted by the observer not according to what he understands, like the case of the Rebbe in my example, but based on what the observer perceives. So if the observer perceives something as inappropriate, then you become, even though you didn't do anything wrong, the Rebbe of such inappropriate behavior. And in terms of Chilul Hashem, it's the same. What's Chilul Hashem? So the Rambam says in the fifth perek of Yesod HaTorah, a very big Yesod. If a person does an Aveira B'shot Nefesh, he does it brazenly, he does it against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and people observe that he did such an Aveira, then that is a Chilul Hashem. going up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Migdal Bavel in miniature. You understand what I mean? It's like the person says, you think I'm a mosquito? I'll show you. And he goes ahead and says, Hashem says, don't do it, and I'm going to do it anyhow. And I'll prove to you how capable and strong I am. That's Chil Hashem. To go against the Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires a tremendous chatzifus. So it undermines the koach and the reputation of the Ribbono Shel'olam. And since the Ribbono Shel'olam's plan in the world does not strike the person down with lightning on the spot, so memela there's a Chil Hashem built into every kind of activity like that. In the case of chashad or marisayim, you also have that problem. Why? Because if you do something that even though you know is not wrong, but it appears to be wrong in the eyes of the beholder, since the beholder is the one who's making the conclusion, he will interpret what you're doing the wrong way, then you have a responsibility not to let the Ribbono Shel'olam's reputation go down the drain based on his interpretation. Now, a person could ask a very simple question. This is all fine and vile. If there wasn't an obligation on the part of the other person to be done l'kavs chus, but there's a halacha, have done his kol adam l'kavs chus. And when a person is interpreting somebody's action, and it's subject to a question mark, v'haraya, the truth was not like that. He was really not doing anything wrong. So Eibazei, why do I have to worry about how I look? Let him better worry about how he's misjudging me. So the answer is that the Torah Yiddishkeit has a two-track perspective. It wants the person who's judging to judge L'Toiva, and to what extent, you see the famous Gemara Masechah Shabbos, that the donors called him L'Kavs Chus, where he didn't get his pay, and he asked him to pay him from this, and from this, and from this, and from this, and he kept saying, no, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. Turned out that Itaka didn't have. He was Maktish his Nechasim L'Shamayim. Until he was Matir his Nether, he didn't have anything to give him. But the worker left empty-handed before Yontif. He was coming home from the summertime, and he came home mamish in despair. Now, why he didn't tell him L'Chatchila Veisach Nisht? Oh, but the question was, Bamed Antani, he asked him, how did you judge me? And he said, I judged you L'Toiva each step of the way. That Mestami, you did this, Mestami, you did that. And he says, yeah, that's exactly what I did. So if that's the case, what about the other tzad, the person who is making the appearances? So that Gemara is interesting, because that Gemara doesn't tell me that there was something wrong in the way the Balabas dealt with the situation. But it would seem to me that if I had a worker, and it appears that I don't pay the worker, that even though he's mechuyev to be dan l'kavs chus, which was perfect in the example that Gemara gives, but the balabot should have made it his business never to allow that chashad to begin with, that he's not paying his worker, and that he's a gazlan, that he's over in l'sashek. Sochir ani ve'evi. So, I don't know. Mistama der svarim that asked that question, ab ich weiß nicht. Lamaisa, those two tracks have to travel together. The choshed shouldn't be choshed, and the person has to be noki me Hashem u Yisrael. So in this issue of chashad and maris ayin, our pasuk comes up occasionally, such as in the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Chav Beis, and it's a statement of Rav Asi. Now here you have an interesting case. You have a story of a woman whose husband was declared to be dead, meis ba'ala, by an eid echad. And the eid echad is ne'eman kishnayim. Another eid comes along and says, loy meis ba'ala afterwards. So he's only ne'eman as an echad. And in the case of an eid echad, it's not ne'eman, but makam shnayim. So the psak halacha has to be that she's mutaris lehinasa. So can she? Is she permitted to? So the Gemara says, L'chatchila not. Why not? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Ravasi. The Omer Ravasi, Hosa Mimcha Ikshus Peh, Ulzus Fasayim Hachik Mimeko. Now here's very interesting. Many times the Pasuk is quoted, Dichsiv. In other words, they're quoting a Makar of a Pasuk that Pasuk is telling you the Halacha, or the Derech HaMusar, or whatever it is. Here, Rav Asi is quoting the Pasuk Ke'ilu, he's saying it himself. In other words, Rav Asi is saying, don't marry, because hasa mimcha ikshus peh. Now, the question is he quoting the pasuk and it's a halacha? That's how he types the pasuk and that's what the pasuk means? Or he's not quoting the pasuk, he's using the lashon of the pasuk to tell you what he thinks the halacha should be, but really, the pasuk isn't saying anything of the sort, because the pasuk is talking about something else. I mean, from the lashon of the Vilna Gaon, for example, or Pasha Pshat, Ikshus Pen Lezus Fasayim has to do with your Dibur. It doesn't have anything to do with whether she could be, how she looks like, because there was an Eid Echad that said no. And there's one Eid Echad that said, yeah, who knows the halacha that the first Eid is accepted like two? We would imagine that it's a Hakosha. It's one against one, and she should have to be able to prove that he was dead. And until then, she can't get married. She's an Aguna. So the fact that this technicality al pi halacha is correct is not enough, according to Rav Asi. But this is Rav Asi saying it. It's not the pasuk saying it. There's another way of making this point is, we have a variety of psukim, including the two psukim that we mentioned. What is the first pasuk? The Yisem Dekiyim Hashem Yisrael. What's the other pasuk? V'nimtzachem v'sechot tov ben elikim v'adam. Now, is there a third pasuk? Is there a pasuk? Chasa mimcha ikshus peh. How did Rav, if it is a pasuk, how did Rav Ashi learn the pasuk? He says, the person is saying something that is inappropriate because he misjudged you. But you shouldn't allow that misjudging ever to have taken place. Hasa mimcha, even if it's ikshus peh. And lezus fasayim, even though it's not appropriate, they should not have come to that conclusion. They should better learn the halacha, know the halacha, that the first aid is accepted kishnayim. But since they don't, you shouldn't get married, because if you do, people will think that you are one against one, and you're still technically an Eishes Ish, and it's no proof that you are an almana, and therefore how could you get married? So there is, in the perception of the people, a misunderstanding. So there's a lezus fasayim that comes out of it. They'll talk about you, and that you're not allowed to allow to happen. So if that's a pasuk, if it's not a pasuk, it's simply a figure of speech. So the Shita Mekubet says in Ksubas Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, so brings a Shita of the Rishonim, and it says as follows. I'm going to read the Lashon. Yesh lefarish de Rav Asi lav mikra koyolif v'loy ayrikra b'hochi klam ela Rav Asi osa lashmi inon b'derech eitza toiva d'roi shaloi tinosi l'chadchila v'haynu mishum d'hasa mimcha ikshus peh pirush b'derech halotza halotza here doesn't mean joking, melitza. So it's a figure of speech. It's a phrase, a turn of a phrase. But there are halotza b'tzachus haloshon nokat lishna dekra. V'lo mishum dekra ayri b'hochi klal. The pasuk isn't talking about it at all. The pasuk is talking about inappropriate language and so on, or mis, the Eitz Hara fadreying you a cup in one way or another. But it's not talking about this inyan of laz, or this inyan of chashad, or the maris ayin. So why did he quote those words? He's using it. Right? V'nichol ha'ay pirusha, the parich ba'isha shalom, mehodes nan, eid echadoim emes v'nises, time of the nises, halon nises loyti nosei, v'amar ula kol mokoim, shemina tori dechad ha'reo kishnayim, do ula loyko amar ocha mishum de ravasi, arsa mimcha ikshus pele, b'derech eitza toivo midina, afilu chatchilati nosei. Etc. So he has a whole sugya. We're not going to go into that sugya now. It's too much for us. But he learns that if Rav Asi did not mean to quote a pasuk, and meaning therefore that it's not la halacha psukah based on the pasuk, based on Divrei Kabbalah, that this pasuk is telling me halacha, so it's just an Eitz HaTayva. And if it's an Eitz HaTayva, it doesn't have the level of halacha psukah. And there are nafkaminas halacha lemaisa. So he says, however, there are others who disagree. And he quotes a Tosfos and says, Tosfos says that Rav Asi mikra koyolif uposuku demaisi, right? V'loinok et haylishna b'derech tzachos loshin. right? So he says, Eibazoi, then you can ask a kashan in the Gemara from the Gemara in Yevamos. But in any case, there's a machloikis in the Rishonim whether the pasuk of Hasa Bibcha Ikshus Peh or Zus Fasayim Achek Mimeka is a pasuk that is doime to the Yisim Lekim Hashem Misra. That's what I wanted to tell you. Now, this halacha comes up in a number of other cases, the most common of which is the discussion about a woman, or a man for that matter, who becomes a ger for ulterior purposes. Now, so the Gemara in Yevamos says that when a ger, meaning a non-Jew, wants to become a ger, so you go to him and you say, Mara Isa. Like, what in the world motivated you to become a ger? And the Gemara has a whole Arichus Lashon in Maseches Yevamos, which the Rambam quotes verbatim. Don't you know that the Yidin Bizman Hazeh are in a miserable matzav, and everybody's coming down on them? Why should you want to become a ger? And the Gemara's Lashon and the Lashon of Rambam is that he has to answer, Yodea ani ve'eini kedai. Which the Mefarshim explain, what does it mean? I'm not worthy of it? You're not worthy of all the tzaras? Exactly. Because the Kaddish Baruch is medactic with Klal Yisrael, Kechut Asayra, because he has a special and unique relationship which he doesn't have with the Goy. Right? So this relationship is what he craves. So he says, Yodayani, and I'm really not worthy of joining the tribe. But Afal Pikein, I want to. I'm going to try. So in this context, the question is, what happens if this person fell in love with a Jewish girl or something like that? And he comes and they ask him, Mara Isa. What's Mara Isa? I want to marry her. So is there a possibility of being mekabel a ger under those circumstances? So let's take a look first at the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says in the Hilchos Isurei Bia, Perek, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet are the dinim of Geirus, right? So the Rambam says like this: Al Yale Al Daitcha SheShimshain HaMoshiach Es Yisrael Oshloim Melech Yisrael SheNikra Yedidya Yedid Hashem Nasu Noshim Nachriyos BeGiyusan, that they were marrying non-Jews, meaning that they married women who remained, who were and remained not Jewish. He says that is not Shaykh, not Shimshon, and not Shlomo HaMelech. Elo Soid HaDavar, in other words, the truth behind the apparent statement of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says Noshim Nachriyos. So he says, no, there's a truth beneath the surface of the pasuk, and that's what he calls sight. Sight here doesn't mean Kabbalah, doesn't mean Zohar. It means the truth under the surface. Sight adova kach, shamitzvah hanachoina. What's the interesting lashon though? Listen to the lashon of Rambam. Hamitzvah hanachoina, meaning the right way to do it. Mashma, that there's a wrong way to do it, but it still it works. Exactly, that's my point. Otherwise, the Rambam should say the only way to do it. Okay, so he says Hamitzvah Nachoina, K'sheYavoi Hager or Hagiyoris LeIzgayer. When he says Hager LeIzgayer, it's almost like a contradiction in terms. What he means is the person who wants to be a ger when he comes to the process of gerus, Bodkin Acharov. You have to make an investigation. What's the investigation for? Shema biglal momon sheyito, either because of financial reason, oibishvil srara sheyizkela, or because they're going to give him some sort of a position of authority or honor, o mitnei hapachad bo mikones ladas. And then he says, that's for men or women, it's the same thing. But if he's a man, there's something else to worry about. V'idishu, bodkin achrov shema einov nosan b'isha Yehudis. You have to check out if he didn't fall for it. You have an idea that he's going to marry a certain Jewish woman. Vim ishahi, shema einov nosna b'bachur mi'bachur Yisrael. Im lo nimso lohem ila, if you didn't find such an ulterior motive, ila here means an excuse or an ulterior motive, a purpose which is nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Modin I say, COVID, oil ha'tayra, b'tayra, sheish, masi, yasa, etc. In Kiblu v'loy Pirshu, Veroos and Shechazru Me'ava, they mekabel the Geirus out of love of Yiddishkeit, love of Hashem, mekabel and Oysa, Oysan Shenema, Vatera Kibzametzesi, Lalechas Ita, Vaterdal Ladabir Abela. By the way, just parenthetically, I pointed out, I think even to you, but this is a famous, because it's the Gros, so I wanted to mention it. The Vilna Gaon has a pshat in Baterik and Misametzes that is very different from what we would assume is the normal pshat. Everybody looks at the story of Naomi and Ruth at the crossroads when they're coming out of Moab and they're on their way to Beis Lechem. And they say that Naomi tried to discourage her and she kept pushing that she wants no matter what. Amich ami alakayach lakoy bashatamuzi omuz shamekover. Then it says, when Naomi saw all of this, that she is so enthused and so intent upon being, and what's misameses, she strengthens herself, she resolves, no matter what you're going to say, no matter what you challenge me with, whatever it is, if it's Yiddishkeit, I want it. Right? That's the Poshup Shat. The Vilna Gaon says an interesting thing. He's Yoyrid L'Soif Daita Shal Yetzer Hara, and he says that anything that's really good, the Yetzer Hara has to come in and try to undermine you. And if there's something that's as complicated as leaving Moab and the life of luxury that she could go back to, and going with the totally empty-handed and forlorn Naomi into a land of people that hate you, and that scorn you, and that will probably leave you to die of hunger, why should anyone want to do something like that? So there must be a struggle. When you see there's a struggle, you see that there's a tzad that wants very much to become a Bas Yisrael, and there's a tzad that says, you're crazy. It's not for you, you don't belong there, and go home. Now Arpa went back. It's the Adarab of Adarab. So you see that there's a tzad. What if the person doesn't reveal any conflict, any inner conflict at all? Just 100%, there's no barriers, there's no question marks, there's no issue. I want. So you know what he says? The Gaon says, that's the biggest raya, that it's the Yetzer Hara telling you to do it. In other words, there's going to be ultimately a gain for the satan, for the Yetzer Hara, and that's why everything inside of you, including the Yetzer Hara, is pushing for the same thing. The Gaon says what she saw was this conflict, and he learns that misametzes means she's struggling to overcome her Yetzer. Very interesting pshat. But in any case, that's the image of the proper Geirus. Amich ami the lakayach lakoy, no ulterior motives. There's no one that she has in mind to marry. In fact, on the contrary. So he says that's why they weren't mekabel gerim in the time of David and Shlomo, in the formal, normal bateidinim that they had. Bateidinim, they used to have a sign gerus here, and the times of David and Shlomo, they took the sign off and they put up a sign instead. If you're coming for gerus, the bezdin is not available. But there were rump bateidinim that were not sanctioned, that were not official. And they, you know, there was a famous joke that when it came time there was some people that had the idea that they want to be Mechadish Sanhedrin, Bizman Hazeh. So the Mechadish Sanhedrin, someone came up with a very good question. You have to have Yireh Lekim, Anshe Emes, Sonei Betzah. He says, maybe all of those things you can get, but Sonei Betzah, people who really hate bribes, hate bribes. It's not even enough that they don't take bribes. They have to be Sonei Betzah. The guy said, don't worry, Fagelt, Kemen Kriegen Al's thing. So that's a famous, famous joke. So there were always Bateidinim like that. There were Bateidinim that weren't official, weren't legal, and they used to get together, Mestama, for a pretty penny, and they would be Megaya people, even though the Psak Halacha of the time said, don't do it. But the Rambam is saying a very interesting thing. The Psak Halacha can say whatever it wants. Now this person is, let's say you have a woman, Noshim Nachriyas. So you have a woman, and she's yesterday Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yesterday. And she comes to this Bezdin, and it's in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and she wants to marry Shlomo HaMelech. So the Beis Din says, yeah, that's terrific. So what does Beis Din do? They go through the motions, they ask all of the questions. Why do you want to get, why do you want to become Jewish? What are you talking about? The Ribbono Shel Olam, Yiddishkeit, it's gewaldig. It's the most glorious system. What about the Avodah Zarah of yesterday? It's gone and forgotten. I have no shaychus to it whatsoever. What about Kabbalah's mitzvah? Is there any mitzvah that you don't want to do? No, I'm going to do them all. She goes into the tefillah with Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Beis Din is witnessing it. There has to be three present. Everything is done exactly kedas v'chadin, as they say. And the next day, she's over Avodah Zarah. So what is that? So to the logical mind and to anybody who sees the circumstances and the environment of this, it's obvious that the whole thing is a sham. But it could be obvious to you, but technically it's a barrier that cannot be overcome. Because all Geiris can require, since we can never see into a person's heart, is to say, you have to declare in front of the Beis Din that you're coming to be Mekabel Oil Mitzvahs. And that's what they did. And it's possible even that if the person said as follows, originally I wanted to marry Shlomo HaMelech. There are a lot of pluses in being married to Shlomo HaMelech. But he said, you have to be Mizgaya. So we went to the local Rav and he gave us a sefer, how to be a good Jew. And we looked at this sefer and we said to ourselves, you know something? This Yiddishkeit, it's wonderful. So Enoch and Nami, we're here because of Shlomo HaMelech originally. But Lamaisa, we're Mekabel everything and we love it. Again, it's a big shiloh whether that's not a Geirus. Now, should Beis Din have acted upon this Geirus? The answer is no. But that's what you have, a problem. That you had these Batei Dinim that were not scrupulous. They were Chevra. So says the Rambam as follows. Lefishe, he says, "Bimei Shloimei, b'shvil hamalchus v'hatoy v'hagdoyla shahayu ba Yisrael." That's probably why they want to become Jewish. Even the people who didn't marry Shloimei HaMelech, stop. They wanted to be where the action is, you know, with the Balei Hatzlocha. So he writes, "Shekol ha'chayzer min ha'goyim." Chayzer, he always uses the term chayzer. He means entering into the fold. The word chayzer is very interesting. It means changing his whole ma'us. Min agoyim bishvil dover mehav leho oylam, einoy migeire hatzedek. Again, what does he not say? Ein again. That's a very fascinating thing. V'afal pikein, hayu geirim harbe, he says, harbe. Misgeirim bimei dover ushloime bifnei hadyotais. They took three people, and that was a Beis Din. And the halacha does not require a Sanhedrin, or people who are mumchim, smuchim, etc. So memela, you can become a ger, even in front of three. V'hoya Beis Din ha-godol choshishin lahem. Now, this line is a very... the people who are Isaac in this parsha, it's a very inscrutable line. He means with Mila for the men, but he means they went through the process. But in the final analysis, Lefisha Gier Shlomo Noshim Venosan, the Chen Shimshon Gier Venosa, means they were behind it. The Hadava Yodua Shaloi Chazru, that these women did not become Gerim, Elo Bishvil Dover. Kolo al pi Beis Din Girum, he didn't do it by the sanction of Beis Din, that's what it means. He just had a group of three. Chazvan HaKosav Hilu Engoyos, the Isuran Omdim. That's why the Torah, the Novi does not call them Gerim, he calls them Noshim Nachos. The Oid Shaychiach Soifan al Tchilosan, Shehin Oivdei Savoy Dezora Shalohen Ubon Olehem Bomois Vehel Olav HaKosov Ki'ilu Bonon Shenema Oz Yivne Shloimei Boma. The Pasuk attributed that it's his fault because he sanctioned their marriage after that Geirus, and therefore when they built the Bomos L'Avoy Dezora, or the Bomos to be Makriv, even though there was already a Beis HaMikdash, all of this is attributed negatively to Shlomo HaMelech himself, because he was behind it in the end. He was the cause of it all.
So now, what is about such a ger? Is he a ger or is he not a ger? Everybody knows. Let's say a person went through a real gerus, and one day later he was eating chazer, and he was ovid avodah zarah or whatever it is. So the Rambam says explicitly in this context that he is treated as a Jew who's a renegade, as a kofer, as a pesheya, whatever the halachas are that apply to a regular Jew now apply to him. We don't say, how could it be that one day later all of the enthusiasm waned? Mistamet was baloney to begin with. Because the declaration makes, and the formal process makes a barrier that we cannot penetrate what's really going on inside his heart. That's why once you have this process, you have big tzaris. So the real thing is never to allow them to get past first base, as they say. Just don't let them get involved in the geirus altogether. But the Rambams are very complicated, because the Lashon HaRambam, you know, by the way, at the end, Mipnei Zeh Amru Chachomim Koshim Lem Geirim LeYisrael Kenegat Tzaras. Gemara says Kesapachas Haseis VaSapachas VaBaheres. These are Tzaras words. So he says Koshim LeGeirim LeYisrael Kenegat Tzaras. So there are all kinds of pshatim, right? Some say because the Geirei Tzedek make us look bad. But he says the exact opposite. A regular ger is not kosher. A good ger is not kosher at all. It's the bad gerim, the gerim that we're suspicious about, that are kisapachas. Sherubam choizrim, again, they become gerim, bishvil dovar, for an ulterior motive, umatin es Yisrael, and they make tzaretz for Yisrael by...
The Erev Rav.
Yeah, exactly, like the Erev Rav. They inspire Yidin to do all kinds of terrible things. V'kosha dovar lifrosh mehem. Why don't you just throw them in the garbage can? Because mipnei shehem nisgairu. You see? Tseilumad ma'ira ba'midbar. That's your Erev Rav. V'maisa egel b'kibris ha'taiva. V'chein roiv ha'nisyonis ha'asafsuf ha'yu bahen tchila. So that's the Rambam. So there's a tshuva in the Rashbash. The Rashbash was the son of the Tashbitz. Reb Shimon ben Tzemach Duran had a son who was also a big Paisik. These are the big Paiskim from Algeria. The first one, the most famous Paisik from Algeria, is the Rivash. But the Tashbitz was the Gadol Ador. They were in Algeria. They come from North Africa. So the Tashbitz's son, the Rashbash, in Simon Shin Samaches, has a short tshuva, and he says as follows. Oit sha'alta, habol is gayer v'yodanu be'emes shaloi bo elu la'avas isha bas Yisrael. Shanosan einov bo. Mahu, mekablin oisai, oloi. But an interesting thing. They asked him that question. Will we accept somebody like that if he wants to keep the mitzvahs? But we know that the reason he's saying so is because he nosa ain of the Vaz Yisrael. Vanira isi b'ktzas sifri ha'mefarshim zal shetzorich livdoi gacharov. I think he means the Rambam, that you have to check it out. Vim yodua shalovo elo la'avas isho kayotzebo she'ein mekablin also. Mamish beferish in the Rambam over there in Perik Yedal, Yugimu. Vimanuz, yeah, so that's what he says. That's the kasha. The person who's asking the kasha is saying, I heard, you know, he heard about this Rambam. So he wants to know, can we be mekabel these people since, even though they have an ulterior motive, but they're going through the process correctly, and they're accepting the whole Torah? Or no, just for the fact that they have an ulterior motive, we are not allowed to take them. Tshuva, ein mekablim oisam l'chatchila. Da'amrina b'perik beis di'avamas, and this is where the Hosse Mimcha Ikshus Peh comes into the picture. Da'amrina b'yavamas perik beis. Echad isha nizgayir l'shem isha, v'echad isha shenizgayir l'shem ish, v'chulu einam geirim. Va'af al pisha nifsika halocha sham da'akoyl geirim. In other words, this is just the first day in the Gemara, but the maskonas ha-Gemara is that ulterior motives do not prevent the geirus from being chal. They will be geirim. Yeah? Zoktel. Hainu b'di'evet. Abo l'chadchil oloi mishum. And here is fascinating. If you would be asked, why should we l'chadchil not accept such people? What would your answer be? Every single one of us. What would our answer be?
How you know that they want to do it?
That's right, because l'maisa said they're going to end up like the asapsu. Because the fact is that ulterior motives, you'll say anything
That works to get past that obstacle. But once you pass the obstacle, mechet taisa that you'll keep any of the mitzvahs. In other words, the reason is because there's a problem in the etzem kabbalas on mitzvahs that we have to accept them, but logically, there's a big chash that they're not going to be b'seder. But that's not what the Rashbash says. Because it says, l'chatchil aloi, mishum, hasa mincha ikshus peh, it means as follows. Now, who's it going on? The Bezdin or the Ger himself?
Causing the Ger.
It's very interesting. So it's a whole shaila. But it means, in other words, that that person will be suspected for the rest of his life. That's what it means. But it's meridic. It means, in other words, even if we could assume, maybe by observation, that the sincerity, halacha l'maisa, is 1,000%. And the later Hanhaga is good. But they're all going to say always, you know why he became a ger? Because of the... he fell in love. Listen to the lashon. Shelo yomru, that people should not say nizgayer ze only mipnei ma'osav shel ze. A lot of people, the non-Jewish women say that Jewish husbands make the best husbands. You know, it's a very interesting thing, by the way. Jewish women don't say that necessarily. But not Jewish women say it. So if a person gets married, what do you want him for? He's going to treat me nicely. The other one will throw me out the door. So forever, there'll always be somebody that'll say, yeah, that's why it happened. That's why they did it. So that's v'chein kosava. Now he brings the Rambam, the Rashbash. He knew the Rambam, of course, cold, so he quotes the Rambam's lashon. B'chein kasav Rambam zal peperik yud gimel chesesuri biya. K'shebo ager b'agiyoris lisgayer bodkin achrob shem b'glal momen sheyitol b'shvul shetzrora sheyizkela oim ipnei hapachat boli konis ladaz v'mishu bodkin osa shemenos aina b'isha yehudis v'mishu shemenos aina b'bochem Yisrael v'chulu. But it's very interesting because the Rashbash is quoting the Rambam. The Rambam never once said that the reason he shouldn't do it is because of Hasa Mimcha Ikshus Pet. The Rambam is crystal clear that he's concerned, because you see where the Rambam brings the halacha, that it's crystal clear. Because he brings it in the context of the batei dinim that were not appropriate in the time when Bezdin regularly would not accept Gerim altogether. So Zetmanduch, that the Rambam is concerned not about what people will say. He's concerned about whether they're going to build bamos or worship Avodah Zarah later. So you see that the Rambam has nothing to do with Hasei Mimcha Ikshus Peh. Now he writes, what about the Anusim? He calls them Anusei Hazman. What about the Anusim? He says, Miu Zeh B'goy Habol Izgayer. Because they asked him also about the Anusim. Avo me anusim elu omizaram ein doichen oisam mipneize. Avo hamakarvan umachnisan avo here means rather hamakarvan umachnisan tachas kamfi ashchino all of nemar im toitzi yokar mizoilel. Rabbi Yochanan Amr Shlokish, you know, ihadris boch yahivna loch achasi the Shapira minoi. Shavishlokish are your listim. Rabbi Yochanan Amalo Yim Tazer Bitshuva. Etin Lucha Achoisi. Bechaza Bitshuva. Viyotzim Imenu Chacham Gadol. Kideisa Beperek Hapayo. So he quotes a remarkable Chazal, which everybody knows, and you know we normally don't think along those terms. So what the Rashbash is saying is, listen. We know that somebody wants to become a ger, whatever the reason is that you're supposed to push him away if he comes for ulterior motives, right? The Rambam, it sounds like, because we don't trust that the ger is sincere, but we can't prove it. And the Rashbash is quoting, but no one suggested that legabi the story of Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish is told, you know the famous Maisa. Rish Lakish jumps in a very powerful way, and he challenges Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Chel Choloi Raisa, you're Kaya. Imagine what you could do with that kind of stamina in learning Torah Yom V'Laila. So Rish Lakish is responding to him in a nasty way, L'chaira, a different pshatim, but L'chaira, and he says that Rabbi Yochanan was extraordinarily handsome. his shufrach lenashia. Your beauty is more appropriate for women. Now, Dreimenish can cop. I mean, it's poshup shat. So he says, well, I'll tell you something. I have a sister who's much more beautiful than I am handsome. And if you are going to come to Torah, I will give you my sister in marriage. So, no one suggested here that he's suspect because he has ulterior motives. Yeah, exactly. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you're asking me about the Anusim. They're Jews. So, you know, whatever is motivating them, if you can get them back to the table, it's gewaldic. That's what he's saying. It's very interesting, the whole Maisa with Rish Lakish, would you do something like that? You have this highway bandit, or whatever he was, and he's very strong, and you're inclined to say, well, you know, you use those koichas for learning Torah. So he says, well, bah, bah. He says, you know what? I'll give you my sister in marriage if you decide to learn Torah. It's a pelot gezach. You know what it means? It's like the Maisot Rebbe Akiva with Rachel, the wife of Rebbe Akiva. The daughter of Kalba Savua saw things in a way that no one else could see. It's a certain... It borders on Ruach HaKadosh. There's a certain kayach that she had that she could see through the obvious shepherd boy who's ignorant, who says, Eshchenu kachamor, if I see a Talmud Chacham. And she sees the potential of a Godel Ador. It's a pilly play. It's the same thing here. If Yochanan saw in Rish Lakish, says, oh, machlokes, whether Rish Lakish was originally Talmud Chacham and then he strayed or he wasn't, but whatever the case is, I want to give my sister to you. Anyhow, but that's what he says. He feels compelled to even give that example. Of course, he was Jewish. So what my union Shemitah Yitzel HaSimen. Anyhow, there's a lot more to say about this, but this Nakuda, by the way, also applies to somebody who is seen in the company of a woman that he's not supposed to be with, and then he marries her. So is he permitted to marry her or not? This also is included in the parsha of Hase Mimcha Ikshus Peh Ulezus Fasayim Harchek Mimeka. I just want to finish by making the point that if the pasuk is just a remez ba'alma, fine. But if it's a makar, like 2 days Neshita Mekubetzes, it's very interesting. The pasuk says much more explicitly than the Yisem Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael or V'nimtzachem V'seichol Toiv. You know why? Because the pasuk is defining that what the other people are saying is completely wrong. And afal pi kein haser mimcha. In other words, you're not allowed to be in the mouths of people, even when the pasuk is saying that what's in the mouths of people is called ikshus peh. It's called lezus fasayim. But that lezus fasayim, harchek mimeka. You cannot allow people to talk about you. Again, because of the 2 points that I made at the beginning of this year. Because in there lies a chil Hashem, because they see somebody that's violating the Torah. And in there also is a Rebbe to teach others, mimeni yiru or yomedu v'chein yas. So, if it is such a pasuk, it's a remarkable thing that the pasuk identified it as completely inappropriate to talk like that, and afal pi kein, our obligation goes even that far. There's a general tendency on people who are, you know, like, honest in an unhealthy way, that they have this feeling that as long as I know that I'm doing right, it doesn't make the slightest difference in the world what other people will think. And in fact, the halacha over and over and over again in many, many different areas says the exact opposite. That what people think makes a great deal of difference. And, you know, there's so many examples that you could talk about it for hours and hours. But that's what I wanted to tell you.